If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good weekend. It's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review, where we take a look back at some of our most compelling segments of the week. Give you a chance to re-listen or catch up on stuff that maybe you missed. Enjoy.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you right here. Giovanni Mascucci is joining us, Senior Digital Forensic Examiner, talking with us today about the case against Alec Murdaugh. Lots of evidence coming out in the last 2 weeks that don't look so good for Alec Murdaugh, although be it circumstantial. Giovanni, from what you've been seeing come out, what's been standing out to you?
I think the CAST expert from the FBI, the cellular analysis survey team expert examiner, because he pulled out the location data. And so he was the one pulling off the SUV infotainment system.
Yep.
And so with FBI has excellent capabilities when it comes to cell tower triangulation. Mm-hmm. And so, and the data that they pull from the infotainment system, they can put it into their specialized software, and they can pull data such as Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth off the infotainment system. And if social media was used, any attachment, Gmail, et cetera, and they can use that to coordinate location data. Now, that being said, from my understanding is that, you know, they also picked up information when the car was turned on, turned off. You know, it just depends on the make and model of the vehicle and what data can be pulled off. And I felt that was really critical evidence because it falls into the timeline of what transpired on this case with the murders.
I know you had mentioned that the last time we talked, you were very interested to see what data would be coming off of that infotainment system.
Right.
We know that at some point he did appear to go visit his mother. From what we're understanding, I believe, is after the murders actually took place for a short period of time. The caregiver Correct. Testifying that he was there, but for a very short period, not nearly as long as he had claimed, and was acting a little, you know, different than normal. What kind of, strength does that sort of testimony have in this case, seeing as, yeah, he did go visit, but it doesn't seem to be in the timeline?
See, one thing people forget is that, you know, your electronic data it becomes factual and supporting evidence. And, you know, when somebody says they're at a certain location for a certain amount of time, and then you look at the actual electronic data that is pulled off, and it definitely gives you the factual time that the person was there and how long they were there. So, you know, there's that type of evidence is critical, I believe, to the case. And there's a lot of this good evidence that I'm seeing that is important. You know, they're calling all this other stuff circumstantial, but you know, digital data is factual data.
Yeah.
You know, that's being pulled off the phone, off the vehicle, off the victim's phones. And that gives you that timeline that to me, it's critical on compared to what he's telling on the defense side compared to what actually happened.
How easy is it to basically get this information into the mind of a juror and have them understand it? I know it's just routine. It's basic. You understand it. I understand it. It's a fact. These are things that don't lie to you, if you will.
Right.
But to an average juror who may not be that technologically advanced, you know, may have issues even figuring out, you know, how to use their phone beyond a phone. Are these things that go into their minds, and the possibility of, well, there could be an error is there, and they don't quite understand it?
Yeah, so it really has to be brought down into layman's terms. I've testified in numerous cases and in different types of trials. And, you know, I always got excited when I knew that one juror was technology savvy or the judge was technology savvy. I would get super excited. But you really have to bring it down and to a non-technical term and simplify it. And you know, whether we're using diagrams, and, you know, that's one of the best ways to kind of walk through kind of how things are collected and what the data can look like and what the data produces from the different tools that are utilized from what the examiner, forensic examiner, collects. So, you know, we always try to bring it down to a basic level, because a lot of people aren't technically savvy. And so it can be very complicated, you know, when you're talking zeros and ones and, you know, bits and bytes. And so you really have to try to get them to understand in a basic way, but also showing exactly what type of analysis and data that was collected, you know.
Sure. Have you ever been in a situation and a case that you've testified on where the data, the forensic data and things like that are just, you know, number one, should we assume that it's never wrong? If the vehicle says you're in this place at this time, based on GPS tracking, based on all of the technology there, is there ever errors?
I mean, I haven't come across that.
Okay, so let's assume that it's always there and it's so, fact.
Sorry.
And it's fact. Have you ever run into, even though all these points are presented, this is just fact, it really can't be disputed, but yet that piece of information, that piece of evidence isn't fully absorbed by the jury and someone is let off, but the evidence truly does show that they were there?
It can. See, I've been testifying in cases where digital evidence is the only evidence. Mm-hmm. And it's critical to show how it's collected, where the data came from. Now, is there a percentage of errors? Now, you know, the defense may want to look into, okay, what's the rate of percentage of error from an infotainment system? They can look it up. Is it minute? It could be extremely minute, to a point where it may have no impact whatsoever, but it's usually pretty accurate. You know, the only times where we run into issues is on when you're doing cell tower triangulation, it doesn't always go the cell tower to the closest cell tower because of time of day, traffic in the airwaves as far as the cellular, and it may bounce to another cell tower all the way across town. And so there's also man-made or natural impediments that can affect the cellular data. And so they look at all that. That all comes into play. But you have other supporting information, like from Google. If his phone is attached to Google or the infotainment system, if he's got Gmail on there, he's using any kind of searches, they can subpoena that from Google. It's unbelievable the data that you can get from Google that you can plot. I've done that on a homicide case for law enforcement. And it's amazing that people don't realize how much data is collected by Google alone. From Wi-Fi to to the GPS, and you can get the location data. And that becomes very critical.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on the shirt that was brought up last week. Alec almost pressuring his housekeeper to believe that he was wearing this Vineyard Vines shirt the day of the murders. However, he was not, and she knows that he was not, but he's saying, no, that was That was the one I was wearing. What are your thoughts on that? Is this just flat out what it is? He's trying to convince someone that he was wearing something he was not because it knew it would incriminate him?
Yeah, I knew that was quite interesting because here you see him earlier, what, about 3 hours earlier?
Yeah.
With that one shirt. And then next thing you know, when he's talking to law enforcement, it's a whole different shirt. And why? You know, why? And where is this shirt?
Yeah.
Right? So to me, those are red flags. It, you know, all that information is a red flag to me. And so, it makes me wonder, you know, is he hiding something? You know, puts into questions into play.
Sure.
You know, where you're, it seems like there might be a cover up now. And that's my opinion. So, and, you know, it to me, and even the, you know, the housekeeper, I mean, she even identified him on the voice on the videotape as well. So it'll be interesting what the defense puts up against all these information that's already come out and people testify on, including law enforcement.
Sure. Does it ever surprise you how elementary some people are when trying to hide their crimes or their traces of where they've been?
Yeah. You know what? I've seen it time and time again. Because what happens is they do get very arrogant and they feel like they're not going to get caught. Mm-hmm. And they have this nonchalant attitude, but they make mistakes, you know? I mean, here's what I tell people. If you commit a crime today, you may not get caught today, but eventually you're going to get caught because technology is amazing and it's so evolving constantly that the data, maybe you can't get the data today, but maybe 6 months or 3 months from now, you can pull that data and get additional information that couldn't be recovered before. There are cases that I wish I can go back on, you know, mm-hmm. and use the newer tools and the updated tools now, because I know I would pull so much more evidence off a phone or a computer or a GPS device, et cetera.
We now know, as of this morning, two jurors relieved from the Murdaugh case after testing positive for COVID. In your experience, how much does this affect the jury going forward, if at all, with all the testimony that's already been made?
I don't think so, because they have backup jurors.
Uh-huh.
And those backups have to, I believe, intently listen as well. Because they have to be astute to what's happening as well in case they do get called upon. So I don't think it'll have an impact. The impact would be whether or not anybody else gets COVID, right?
Yes.
So that would be the most serious impact, I believe, is that, you know, where are they quarantined? You know, I'm sure they'll be testing them daily to make sure that nobody else has COVID symptoms. So that would be my biggest concern, that more jurors get COVID, because, you know, how many backup jurors are there?
Yeah, I guess my question would be on something like this. I don't know, you know, the answer. I know I don't know the answer. What is the protocol on that? Like, let's say more than half of the jury gets COVID. They don't have enough backup jurors. Did they just pause the trial until the jury can come back? Or is this like restart all over again?
That's a good question, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't. It's kind of new territory that we're in with
that. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Giovanni Mascucci, always a pleasure having you on and getting your insight into the case against Alec Murdaugh. If you like our podcast, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you every single day. You can get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts when you subscribe there. Even try it for 3 days free. Until next time, for all of us here, I am Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.